If you are an active duty service member ready to transition out of the military, a loving spouse seeking support and resources on how to cope with PTSD, or maybe a military brat ready to take the next steps to join the Air Force, or a veteran wanting to connect with others through shared experiences, then this is the right podcast for you. My name is Laura Figures, and this is the Freedom Isn't Free podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Laura Figures. First, thank you for joining me each and every single week as we continue to bring you inspiring stories or resources that address Is Freedom Free? Today, I wanted to discuss a very sensitive topic, and I know Domestic Awareness Month is not until October, but when you're reading a story and it touches you, I want the world to know and to communicate how important it is for us to come together as the military community. Now, listen, I want you to stick with me. I'm going to give you basically a synopsis of this story, and then I want to go into details. There was a private, his name was Jonathan Legere. He never once denied that he killed a man named Jason Lindsay on the night of June 19th in 2019. Police officers in El Paso, Texas said it was a justified homicide under state laws. Lindsay was just across the doorframe of Legere's off-post apartment, and a grand jury agreed that Legere didn't face any civilian criminal charges, but the Army's CID had no idea that Legere had killed a man. At the time, CID had no idea that Legere had been beating his wife since March of 2019. Fort Bliss's CID never learned how Legere had been beating his wife with a picture frame that night, nor did they learn how Lindsay, who was unarmed, was attempting to rescue Legere's wife from the abuse that night. Fort Bliss's CID also didn't see the civilian police records describing the history of violence at the Legere home. But Legere's command, his chain of command, knowing he killed someone, moved to reassign him. And also Legere and his wife moved to Fort Stewart, Georgia, where he continued to beat her, choke her, and on several occasions pointed a gun at her. CID only learned of the shooting after special agents began investigating Legere's domestic violence at Fort Stewart in December of 2019. That's how many months of abuse, you guys? Now, Legere, he was then a private first class, but he was convicted last year by a general court martial at Fort Stewart, 4 counts of spousal battery, 4 counts of obstructing justice, 4 counts of disobeying orders, and a count of assault with an unloaded firearm. He was sentenced to 2 years and 1 month of confinement and were reduced to an E1 and a dishonorable discharge. But now guess what? Legere is facing a general court martial for the 2019 shooting. Now I want to take you back to this shooting. When El Paso's police sergeant was first to the scene at Legere's off-post apartment on the night of June 19th in 2019, he found the soldier waiting on his knees in the hallway with his hands behind his back, his unloaded Glock 19 pistol and a Texas concealed carry permit on the ground next to him. But Lindsay's shirtless body lay feet away, just inside the door of the apartment, shot 6 times. Several witnesses in the area told police that Lindsay had come to rescue Legere's wife, whom Legere had allegedly beaten with a picture frame that evening. Now the police found and photographed her injuries that were on her arm. The police had been to their apartment a week prior to the shooting, and witnesses there still stated that a man and woman were arguing and fighting in the apartment. The witness actually gave details of him hearing some things being thrown around in the apartment and that there was glass found broken outside the apartment. As I mentioned before, Legere was later convicted of obstructing justice for separate incidents of forcing his wife to recant abuse accusations at Fort Stewart. He stated in the back of a police cruiser, shouting at his wife, "Don't say anything until you talk to our lawyers." But because Lindsay went through Legere's door with, quote unquote, the intent to assault him, the shooting was justifiable homicide under Texas state law. El Paso police quickly reached their conclusion, basically issuing a press release within 24 hours announcing that the shooting was in self-defense inside the apartment. And on top of it, the El Paso Police Department didn't even submit charges for domestic abuse, despite the evidence in the case filing. They said they were unable to find any domestic violence cases presented to their office, and that's coming from their district attorney. Charges cannot be brought up if there's no presentation of an offense report. Now, according to the United Code of Military Justice, it supersedes state self-defense enhancements like stand your ground and the Castle Doctrine. Now, these exact details of the El Paso investigation, they were not immediately provided to CID or the military authorities. There basically are no current procedures that are defined for the El Paso police or the DA to share case files with CID. The only body to which cases are presented for prosecution is to the district attorney's office. Any other interested parties, they have to request the case through appropriate channels. Now, there are professional courtesies allow for communication with the Fort Bliss CID if military personnel reach out to inquire about cases involving soldiers. Now, these cases, they're typically handled exclusively, but the prior administration in El Paso County and a team of attorneys who are no longer employed at that office were exclusively handling this case. And the current DA could not guess as the reasons why behind any actions are failed or failures to act to notify the military police. Now listen, despite CID being unaware that the shooting or domestic violence had occurred, the Army rapidly moved and reassigned Legere to Fort Stewart after the shooting. At the time of the killing, Legere was a member of the 47th Brigade Support Battalion, which is a part of the 1st Armored Division, 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team. Prior to his transfer to Fort Stewart, Jonathan Legere was not the subject of a CID investigation. Details about a soldier's personnel records are limited by the privacy laws. However, a spokesperson at Fort Bliss within the 1st Armored Division was able to confirm that his transfer was related to the 2019 off-base shooting. The incident occurred off-base on the installation boundaries, therefore was under the jurisdiction of the El Paso Police Department, which did not consider Private First Class Legere a criminal suspect in August of 2019. However, Fort Bliss communicated that they are committed to ensuring the fair administration of military justice at all levels of command. Commanders at Fort Bliss remain fully committed to ensuring good order and discipline in their formations while ensuring that every accused soldier enjoys a presumption of innocence until proven guilty. Now, it was not immediately clear whether anyone in Preserve's chain of command was aware of the ongoing domestic violence, but one thing is certain, Legere's Fort Bliss chain of command did not inform CID of the shooting. No one did until a domestic violence investigation in 2019 by Fort Stewart CID learned that Legere had killed a man who was attempting to rescue his wife. There are court-martial documents right now that show the extent of the abuse before Legere was finally confined in March of 2020. Now, this abuse started back in March of 2019. He was hitting her with his fist while they were still living in El Paso, Texas. immediately after moving to Hinesville, Georgia, he pointed a gun at her, like I said, on several occasions between August and October 2019. Then after that, he began choking her again in October of 2019. The following month, while they were on vacation in Boston, Legere shoved his wife, hit her with a cord to his earphones, and punched her in her legs. Legere's wife, she reported the abuse to CID on December 4th of 2019, and his commander issued a no contact order. But guess what? Legere broke that order and assaulted her again in Hinesville a month later. The next month, while his brigade was at the National Training Center at Fort Ewing, California, Legere also violated the no contact order in an effort to convince his wife to lie to CID about the abuse. He then destroyed her phone on March 2nd of 2020 in an effort to destroy evidence shortly before his arrest. Currently, his arraignment hearing is slated for today, and he has pled not guilty. Now, the military justice system has a high bar for defendants claiming self-defense in murder cases. The defendant must have been at an objective risk of death and believe that the force used was necessary to prevent such harm. A challenge facing Legere's defense is that Lindsay was shirtless and unarmed when Legere shot him, and unarmed assaults rarely cause grievous bodily harm. The maximum punishment for unpremeditated murder is a life sentence without the possibility of parole, which governs the military criminal proceedings. Legere's trial is tentatively slated for October the 25th at Fort Stewart. Domestic abuse is not something that's very easy to talk about, to communicate, but deciding whether to report it can be difficult. If you are experiencing abuse in your relationship, it is normal to feel alone, afraid, unsure about how to ask for help, who to ask from. Knowing your reporting options can help you decide what to do next. Listen, I'm going to give you a couple key items I want you to take note of. The Department of Defense Family Advocacy Program is committed to supporting service members and their families impacted by domestic abuse. The top priorities for the Family Advocacy Program are promoting safety through early detection and of unhealthy relationship patterns and reporting abuse. You have options to decide if, how, and when to report domestic abuse in the military, with some exceptions. Now, listen, there are a couple of options. Restricted or confidential reporting option. This is knowledge. Listen, knowledge is power, and understanding your reporting options for domestic abuse can help you decide how to proceed. Now, with a restricted report, military law enforcement and command will not be notified. There are three groups of professionals that have been granted the authority to know information about domestic abuse, confidential under the restricted reporting option. You have the Family Advocacy Program Victim Advocates, you have the clinicians, and you have your healthcare providers. Making a restricted report basically means that law enforcement is not notified, command is not involved, and you have access to a full range of family advocacy program services, including medical care, counseling, and support from victim advocates. They will work with you to develop a safety plan and identify your next steps, including pursuing options outside the military system. Victims are also entitled to the protections of privileged communications with the chaplain, but disclosing domestic abuse to the chaplain is not a report and will not connect you to the financial advocacy program services. Because victim safety is a priority, if you or any person is in immediate risk or serious harm, you cannot use the restricted reporting option. The restricted reporting option does not apply to children abuse cases, which are required by law to be reported to law enforcement and child protective services. Now, this next option, unrestricted or non-confidential reporting, is where a victim of the domestic abuse or any concerned person may notify officially designated personnel, which is chain of command, the financial advocacy program, or the military law enforcement of an incident of abuse. Now, making this report, law enforcement will conduct an investigation of the incident, which will include contacting the alleged offender. Commands will be notified and may take administrative action against the offended, the alleged offender. You also have access to support and protection from the command, such as a no contact order or a military protective order, which is what LeJure's wife had in place. You also have access to a full range of family advocacy program services, including, again, medical care, counseling, support from victim advocates. Also, they will help you develop a safety plan and identify next steps. You also have access to legal services. You can also receive assistance in applying for transitional compensation, if applicable. Now, if you are concerned that your spouse or partner may learn that you are seeking help for abuse, contact the Family Advocacy Program victim advocate or your healthcare provider. They can help you consider if, when, and or how to make an unrestricted report and can assist you in accessing additional services. Listen, if you are experiencing domestic violence, visit military installations to locate the closest family advocacy program or go to National Domestic Violence Hotline website, or you can call 800-799-7233, or please call 911 if you are in immediate danger of assault or physical injury. If you are in a military installation, call your military law enforcement office. Thank you guys for joining me. I just wanted to just highlight what is going on in our military community. It happens every day. And I just wanted to provide you guys just a resource just in case you are going through these hard times of domestic abuse. And if you need someone to reach out, please utilize the resources at your military installation. Please contact, please reach out. We are here for you. We are here to help. For those of you that are listening, as always, don't forget to thank a veteran for their service. I love hearing from you, my listeners, military heroes, veterans, spouses. Message me your stories and let your voice be heard. And why are you doing that? Go inside the podcast app, leave a 5-star review and a 5-star rating. This helps us reach more people. And if you want to be a part of this mission by helping us provide a voice for our service members, then make sure you subscribe. It makes a difference by leaving a review. And remember to thank a veteran.